Hello and welcome to the Man Rant Corner podcast. Podcast number three, boys.
We did three. We made it to three.
It's been
a whole year and we've done three.
Woohoo! It's been a bit of time since the boys and I got together.
That's true. That's
again,
true.
I'm Dave.
I'm Gary.
I'm Dwayne.
And so
we are the three amigos.
Three amigos, eh?
Yeah, they can't see that again. So we got to stop miming. We got to stop miming this crap again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There is no video here, and you don't want to see what we look like right now, because I think we're all kind of various stages of a mess. So you know, whatever.
I'm recovering from Ebola, I think.
Yeah, we've
Ebola virus.
It's been a few months since the three of us got together, and I was trying to myself. I was away because I was trying to. Discover the cure for AIDS. So that's why I've been gone for a bit. And Gary, why haven't you been able to get together with us?
I have no recollection, actually. I'm assuming I was drunk and having a good time.
Partying with Tiger, huh?
I hope so. I sure hope so.
No, he's the one who gives Tiger his bitches. He is. Hey, the Jewish pipeline for bitches is the Jewish pipeline for bitches is pretty impressive. It is.
Do tell.
We prefer to call them boobalas.
Boobalas. Is that what it's called? Okay, writing that down.
Really
okay.
Interesting.
Cool. That's
so
awesome.
Hey, my shixes.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming at all.
So once again, we're coming to you live from the capital of the world, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Capital of whose world?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So this is the center.
We're here for a reason. We haven't figured it out, but it's a reason nonetheless.
Today being December 19th, a few days before Christmas and New Year's, we decided to do one last final podcast for 2010, and we've...
It can only get better from here.
2011, we promise, we're going to be getting together with all of you guys out there a lot more.
All three of you.
All three of you.
We thank each and every one of you.
Your Christmas cards are coming. They are, trust me.
So, I think we should do the use and start talking about some news items. Now,
yeah, absolutely.
You guys just mentioned Jewish commentary there, so... Gary, I'm just going to mention to you, I don't ask me why, but I pulled up the Jerusalem Post this morning.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course, that's...
Because all black people read the Jerusalem Post.
I expect
less.
I expect nothing less either.
I figured, if Sammy could do it, then I could do as well. So,
turns out Sammy's not Jewish.
In the news, yesterday, December 18th, 2010, I found an article. Jewish group releases list of top 10 slurs of 2010. Gary, take it away.
Oh, this is genius. I just started looking at this a few minutes ago, and this is hilarious. Top 10 slurs of 2010. I mean, it's a great top 10 list, first of all. Slurs, why not? Top of the list is Helen Thomas, the 90-year-old journalist.
She's only 90?
She's a...
Gosh.
Sure does not.
I think she slept with Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, really.
Does not present her in the best light, but...
The Crypt Keeper makes her look young.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Remember Zool from Ghostbusters?
Yes.
That made me moist.
Please, I don't want to think of moist in this one in the same sentence.
I don't think that's a problem.
Who's hungry?
I don't think there's any water in this.
Who's hungry? Who's hungry? Come on.
She retired earlier this year. I like that's political way of putting it. After she told a rabbi at a White House reception that Jews should get the hell out of Palestine. So
the alcohol was involved.
Yes. Yeah, maybe. They should go home to Poland, Germany, America, and everywhere else.
Huh.
So
really?
Don't stay here. So let's break this down. Everywhere else. So basically, Jews are home everywhere except Israel. So Israel/Palestine is the only place in the world where it is not home for Jews. I'd like to see the math on that. Or to explain that to
me. Back home, we call that Polish logic.
Yes. But But the best part of this, the best, the one that kills me, is they should go home to Poland and Germany.
Germany.
That worked out so well the last time. Because really, if there's any place in the world that I personally, a Canadian Jew, grew up all my life, and would call home, is the two places in the world that help exterminate 6 million of my people. Yes, that's home, Mrs. Thomas. That is where I want to go.
Can I see your passport? Oh, you are Jewish. Yes. You need to take this train to this location. You will be filled in later. Danke.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking of, just picking up and moving away from Winnipeg and going down to South Carolina. You know,
yeah, that'll work out so well for you.
Yeah, you just, you know.
How's your neck feeling lately?
This is, I got a couple of white bed sheets I can use. Got some spare sheets there I can use.
Yeah, stick with the white. That might work well for you.
Yeah, I figured if my friend Gary here can go home.
Go home to Poland and Germany. Yes.
Then I figured, you know, he's inspiration to me, so maybe I can kind of do something similar and.
Oh my God, genius!
Oh, absolutely.
That is absolute genius. I'm telling you.
Yes, I got a kick out of that. Ms. Thomas, well, God bless you.
Thank you, sweetie.
And I
mean that. Well, I don't mean that.
One again. Did you, Gary? Did you see that same article? Was talking about Oliver Stone and what he said as well.
Yes, Oliver Stone came in second.
As he usually does.
I actually don't mind some of the movies I've seen that he's done. I've had, you know, no issues with them. He came in second with his remark on the alleged misportrayal of Hitler's role in history.
There's a misportrayal?
Yes, apparently. He said, quote unquote,
he was just misunderstood.
Hitler is an easy scapegoat throughout history, and it's been used cheaply. He's the product of a series of actions. It's cause and effect.
Yes.
Cause, you become leader of an entire country, you invade the other countries, and you exterminate an entire people. I'm pretty sure that's a pretty clear cause.
Well, I think what he was saying is that he's misunderstood is because really he started exterminating lots of people.
He did.
He just wasn't focused enough. That was the problem. He was focused.
He
just didn't take.
Focused.
No, he was just focused.
I don't think
he had a lack of attention.
But I guess when you compare him to Stalin and Mao and Chairman Mao, he was just a bit of an underachiever. when you're talking about tens of millions of people, I mean, it's just, you know, as guys who do that sort of work.
That's being nice, don't you think? Guys that do that
sort
of
genocidal.
In the annals of genocidal rampages, he could have taken it a little further, but gratefully
he
didn't.
Bring his A game. He only took out 6 million of Jews, you know,
he's got to slack it off.
You know,
that's beautiful.
Gypsies. Homosexuals, and miscellaneous people, they just decided they didn't like.
A few he found in the street.
Political dissidents,
the French.
He really did bring his A game. He really could have done
the carry-on players from London. I don't know.
He got up late that morning, so just like me, you know, I got up late this morning. I'm just not.
Ava didn't put out that. Jesus.
Damn bronze.
I think what Oliver Stone may have meant to say is that the name of Hitler is used a lot in connotations. It becomes a cheap way of taking arguments and reducing it to ad absurdum, which I would agree with. His quote.
Hey, it's easy for me.
Yes.
We just had 10 minutes out of that. Woohoo!
His quote as posted, that Hitler is an easy scapegoat. Yeah, there's a reason for that. He was the freaking Führer, the leader of the people. The buck stops
here.
And not only that, but he spoke at length. He wrote a freaking book he's like, here's my plan. I'm going to exterminate all the Jews in my country. And then they did, pretty much.
It's
and then
astonishing.
They invaded another country, and they did it there too, and they were very consistent. So to say that he's a scapegoat,
Well, consistency is everything, you know. Yeah. Consistency is everything.
The mind kind of boggles.
Oh my God, tell me about it.
No, I think you earned that.
No, I'll give him that one. Least, yes. I'll give him that one for sure.
So thank for you, Mr. Oliver Stone.
Oh, it's, you know, it's fantastic.
Exactly. Well, on a lighter note, since that was such a wonderful opening topic.
Genocidal rampages. Yeah. It's Christmas. Woohoo!
Looking in the Toronto Sun this morning, and so we have Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson.
We go from genocide to divorce.
First of all, earlier this week they announced that they divorced amicably. Of course, they all say that.
It'll come out later.
Yeah.
It'll come out later.
But
guaranteed.
In the Toronto Sun, in an article on December 19, 2010, it says, Johansson and Reynolds meet for dinner.
Oh, it's like a summit. It's like a summit. Yeah. It's kind of like it's kind of like the U.S., the USSR, and Great Britain getting together, only with boobs.
Now, I'm just glad that Ryan Reynolds, I know he's a Canadian, and he's a fellow Canuck, fantastic.
That's right.
I'm just glad he finally realized that, you know, he can't compete with the brother, you know what I'm saying? he was probably the last couple of years that they were married, he's like, you know, I can do this, I'm with Scarlett right now, and, Dave here, he's kind of in another city right now, he's in another country, but, you know, at the end of the day, Scarlett was probably like, you know what? I'm sorry, man, but once you have black, and you know the rest.
No, you want to enlighten us there, pal?
Yeah.
No,
well,
actually, what I find funny is, like, okay, she's going to date another guy probably within the next few months.
Oh, easily.
Which is going to be easy. Now, you are following Ryan Reynolds, okay? Most chicks would pretty much put that guy at, like, the apex for, like, male hotness,
especially
right?
Especially now that he's what people's...
Yeah, he's the Green Lantern. Yeah, he's, like, the sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
I'm a straight dude, and I'd fuck him.
Okay, well, I think we're going to the next topic.
No, but, like, if you're... Are you going to fuck...
I'll take Scarlett.
Yeah, really?
It's a win-win scenario.
But my thing is, like, if you're a dude, how do you follow that? If you're the next dude in line, how do you follow that?
I would, like... You
okay, Gary's
say,
got it. Gary's
no,
got
like
it.
Like you always say, would love to step up to the plate and disappoint her.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that's something you don't hear every day.
You haven't hung out with us enough. That's the problem.
Yeah, true enough, 2011. That's the New Year's resolution. We're going to do more podcasts maybe more on-location podcasts as well.
More on-location is good.
And bang more Starlets. I like how this is going.
I like where this is going
sure
here.
I'm not sure how the execution's going.
Speaking of banging
more Starlets.
Let's go to the...
that's my new band
ever reputable TMZ.com.
Oh, dear.
Again, I was looking there this morning. Vanessa Hudgens. Flirty birthday.
Is it Huggins or Hudgens?
Hudgens. Pardon me. I don't know. I don't watch...
Everybody's hugging.
High School Chronicle. I mean, that's not my thing.
It doesn't really.
Apparently, Vanessa this weekend celebrated her 22nd birthday at Pure in Las Vegas last night. Do you guys remember Pure?
We've been to Pure. We've been there.
Yeah.
It's pretty hot.
Now,
yes.
My buddy here, Dwayne, made a good point off air.
Which is where most of my points, my good points come.
It's good to realize that Vanessa finally realized that dating gay guys isn't the best career move for her.
You are correct, sir.
Zach, you're out of here. And any thoughts there, guys, on Vanessa?
Yeah, I want to know what the hell that guy uses on his eyebrows, because like that looks like it takes work. Like, seriously.
Doesn't he have thick eyebrows?
No, he's got them like aerodynamic ones.
Oh,
he looks like
he?
Speed Racer.
Well, he might actually be part CGI.
It could be.
A lot of actors and actresses are doing that these days.
Well, after watching Tron, I think, you know, the digital Jeff Bridges can give him a run for his money. Shit, dude. Spoiler alert. Anyway. But, it's that you gotta love it when the 22-year-olds decide that, you know, it's we're done here and let's go to Vegas.
See, and
that could have ended well.
I'm surprised that she's 22. I don't know. I still the couple times I've seen clips of that High School Crapicle.
High School Crapicle.
Yeah, sorry.
Write that one down. That's a good one.
I don't know. She just reminds me of a little 14-year-old trying to be, like you said, a 38-year-old.
It's entrapment, man.
Don't get me wrong. She's She's eye candy.
No, no.
But
I concur, man.
Yeah,
I concur,
that being said, I just, I don't know.
I don't know. Disney, I think, has some kind of chamber where they produce chicks like this. You know? I don't know where they keep getting them from, but then they get to that age, man, and it's like, bing!
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, like the bell on the oven goes off, and it's like, it's cooked nicely.
I don't know. I think she has, like, another 5 years, and then, like, she'll look like she's, like, 38. Like,
yeah, and not
that's
in
called
a good
the
way.
That's the Lindsay
the
diet
Lindsay,
there, pal.
The Lindsay effect.
The Lindsay,
yeah.
Lindsay effect.
Yeah. There's only so much you can smoke and drink in the span of 2 years before you start looking like your purse or something, you know?
Yeah, she probably has, like, you know, one of those oxygen tanks or whatever she goes into every night.
The hyperbaric, Michael Jackson's hyperbaric chamber.
To make her look like she's much, much younger. And
oh, God, yeah.
Eventually, it's like, you know, that it all catches up, like the picture of Dorian Gray or something like that. It's just like,
yeah, there's a picture in the, it's a picture in the closet that ages.
And then, like, Britney, so yeah. Like, what the hell happened there? One minute it's like, hit me one more time, and yeah. It's like...
I know, I was watching Goldmember the other night, and she's like in the opening credits for that one,
yeah.
Right? And it's just like, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
She went from smoking hot to just a smoking... Room.
Crater. Smoking crater.
Marriage and motherhood really didn't do her well.
Let that be a lesson to you kids out there. Yeah. Marriage and motherhood is not good for you.
The more you know.
Do we have that music?
This is what you say, sponsored.
Oh, I got to add that music in later, man. That's funny.
So before we leave TMZ, I just flipped over to the most recent pictures. They've got a couple pictures of Megan Fox
in a bikini.
Now,
okay.
Maybe I shouldn't have whistled prematurely. And that's, by the way, that's the only thing
could
I do
you
prematurely.
Zoom in?
Sorry.
Okay. And...
The reason why I say this is, obviously, you listeners out there and you boys in here will agree that Megan Fox, hot damn.
I don't know.
But in this picture, and maybe Gary's going to, but this there's a couple pictures here that, I don't know, they look like they're airbrushed, and she's got the tats all over the place. I said tats.
Yes, you did.
And
you didn't stutter.
And... You know, I know I'm going to get a bunch of hate email here.
No, you won't.
But she does not look good in this in these couple pictures. Gary?
Well, I mean, these pictures actually, in my opinion, she looks better than...
Yeah,
than,
actually, honestly, yeah.
Used to see her. Usually, like, the thing is, when I saw
she lost
her
a little weight.
In the Transformers movie,
yeah.
She looked...
No, like,
she looked good. You know, she looked
oh,
hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
actually, she looked healthy.
After that,
exactly, healthy. That's
after that, I would see her, and she just looks synthetic.
Yeah.
She looked like a reproduction of a woman.
Exactly,
and
a mannequin.
After that, it was like, yeah, nothing.
So here
she actually looks kind of human, which is nice.
I guess Gary and I will differ in
this.
Yeah.
In respect.
Well,
at her best, but I take this way over.
I don't get it.
She's got all the makeup on, and she looks.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be kicking her out of bed or anything, but I guess my point is in these TMZ shots, not her best. I don't know.
She looks way better here than anything I've seen her in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the best point counterpoint ever.
It's like the McLaughlin group for podcasters.
The answer is, you're wrong.
The answer is, yeah. You're wrong.
Item 3. Megan Fox, is she hot? Gary.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong. Dwayne.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
I take Scarlet over her any
yes.
day of the week.
Yeah, that I would agree
have
with.
Have like a Scarlet Megan sandwich.
Like, Scarlet, she's
sandwich.
Intelligent. Like, Megan, I don't think you can have a conversation with her before.
Actually,
they
good point, my friend. Good point. And I agree with you there that, you know, I think Scarlett will age well over the years. Mm-hmm.
Like a fine wine.
Exactly.
Fine wine.
Megan,
that's
cheese.
Right.
Not so much.
Cheese.
Like,
I'm hungry now.
Okay, well, on that note. And
what's on the Food Network right now?
Let's do a final news topic here.
What do you got?
CTV.ca.
Oh, look, Uncle Buck's playing.
Yeah.
Nice!
Craigslist pulls sex ads from Canadian sites.
Now, how are amputees going to find love now?
Amputees need loving too.
Absolutely.
But they got to pay.
Yeah.
We all got to pay.
I mean, Craigslist is one of those things that just kind of lends itself to, I don't know, if there was one thing that Craigslist would have been great for, it's solicitation for sex.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear, it's anonymous, it's one of those things where, well, it's not really anonymous, but I mean, like, generally, it's like you pick a spot, meet up or whatever, and do your business, get the hell out.
Now, I wonder if... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I was going to say, I wonder if the Lava Life people who were behind this anonymously...
I can almost guarantee that. I think it's those eHarmony people, because they got that Catholic backing there, right?
Yeah, you know what?
The Christian background.
They're all the goody two-shoes on the commercials, but at the end of the day...
That old dude that runs eHarmony scares me. he's got kind of a cross between Mr. Dressup and one of the judges on Boston Legal. he's got that perpetual smile. That can't be good for you. Those guys that are smiling like that, there are people in their freezer. I'm sorry. I just get that weird kind of vibe. It's like, it's kind of, I think that's what happens when you drive through Utah. I think those are the kind of grins you get. You got that whole Children of the Corn thing going on, you know what I mean? It's like, eh. 27 levels of compatibility. I don't want fucking 27. I want one.
Yes.
I want one. Will this fit there? Yes. Awesome.
Gary, any thoughts on the Craigslist news story of the day?
I mean, I'm kind of on the fence there. Like, on the one hand, they're like, we did this to protect the innocent and from exploitation, that kind of stuff. But a lot of groups, you know, the Safer Sex Group, some other groups have sort of
Safer Sex.
I think safe sex is the one thing you're not looking for when you go on the Craigslist. Yeah, that's like roulette in Vegas, man. That's like, you know, spin the ball, no pun intended, and you know, see what it lands on.
Whatever the group was called, they were concerned that it simply was just sweeping it under the rug rather than actually addressing the
Oh, there's
situation.
A lot under that rug, man. I think you need a hazmat team to clean that shit up.
Booyah! The reality is prostitution has existed since forever. It's always going to exist.
You're not going to stop it.
Craigslist isn't going to do jack.
No,
a lot of,
you're treating symptoms, not the problem.
I heard stories on like radio and whatever of women basically who were able to do it directly with their clients who now are at risk because they need
for
a pimp or something like
that.
No,
that's correct. You know,
and,
that's 100% correct.
It's sort of like a... Are you sure that this is going to have the effect that you think it's going to have?
Not, it's never going to have the effect. They always want to treat symptoms. They never want to go to root causes of it. And they don't want to really do anything that's going to rock the boat or rock the establishment. And basically it's that Christian / establishment which is pretty much the source of votes for a lot of those people.
Yeah.
So really they don't want to piss off a base. And that's what you have. And that's the only thing that they're trying... to do, but it's like a symbolic gesture.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's symbolic, and that's it. But you know, if they're gonna close one thing down, it's gonna open up someplace else.
I just think there's a lot of hypocrisy because I'm like, there's a very strong need for prostitution because
there seems to be
a lot of, you know,
testify.
Right? Like, go to Craigslist.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you see, you obviously see there's a need for this.
No question.
Well, who are these people? Or you think they're the hobos? You know,
hobos get it for free.
Yeah,
you know,
like
love
the homeless. These are people with internet connections or whatever.
Yeah.
Who do you think they are? They are the people that you see every day in the industries. They're your plumbers,
the people
your lawyers,
this
your
in your neighborhood.
No, but realistically, it goes across the board. So, I mean, saying we're getting rid of this, well, I mean, I think it's a...
You know, I was reading something the other day, and what I found that a lot of people who use Craigslist for is for someone who, say, has... a disability or a birth defect or something.
Yeah.
I've noticed what I read on I think it was on CBC the other week was that they had that parents for their children who require some release use that forum to find them a sexual partner.
Yeah.
It happens, and I mean this is not something that they wouldn't normally find love anywhere else, but this is one of those forums that they use.
Yep.
Now, granted, I don't, you know, you're kind of hoping it's a little bit safer, but, you know, odds are, I mean, that it's not that, that they're, you know, how do I word this?
other outlets.
There's no other outlets, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, other than flying to either Vegas or the red light district in Amsterdam or Florida or whatever. I mean, there's no other way around it. So,
yep.
You know, it's sometimes there's an essential service there. And,
yeah.
You know, but like I said, you close one down, it'll open up somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is the tip of the iceberg.
There's a reason why it's the oldest profession. Right?
Absolutely.
And the internet is a wild west.
People needs to get off, man.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate motto.
Yeah, the internet. People need to get off.
I think that's what...
I like that. It has several meanings.
It has several meanings.
I think that's
the internet. People need to get off.
Now, and as we're driving listenership away, carry on, Dave.
I was going
to
say,
feel free to sample that.
I think you need to sell that ad to Ashley Madison. Because
yes.
That would be perfect for them.
Patent pending.
Yeah. Don't be copying that now, guys.
Patent pending. Patent pending.
So any final news stories that you guys want to talk about before we get on to the main topic?
TSA, did we talk?
We want to talk about gate rape.
Wow.
No, we went.
I am totally losing control of this.
It's out of control.
Just in general, no, we're talking about airport security and how these new enhanced procedures are affecting air travel and whatever. Now,
enhanced
I haven't
procedures.
It's enhanced. Yeah, well,
enhanced procedures.
Because it means they cradle the balls before they check you. Now we might honestly be probably the worst people to talk about this, because I think none of us have actually flown since they've started this.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, you have.
When my girlfriend and I went to Vegas in May of this year, and that's
but we were down in May.
No, I know
too.
You went after, but
yeah,
when we went. At the airport,
yes,
and they were just starting to implement this whole thing.
Yeah,
and,
I think we just missed it.
Yeah,
we just missed it.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess because I don't know. But anyway, so we went there.
Yes,
that or racial profiling. Anyways,
it's called Blackwell traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a criminal offense.
Yeah,
Blackwell driving, Blackwell traveling, Blackwell walking.
So we're at the airport, and I walk up to the customs agent, and basically, U.S. Customs, obviously, at this point.
Yes.
So, at least she was nice. She said, okay, well, you got one of two options. You get patted down by myself, or you walk into the machine. And I was, you know, when I was looking at the machine, I was thinking 1986 Jeff Goldblum, The Fly. I don't want to walk out of this thing.
You just hope that there wasn't a fly in there now, were you?
Exactly. But needless to say, the U.S. Customs agent was not pretty, and, you know, my girlfriend was right beside me, so I turned and I said, put me in the machine. So, they did the whole the time travel thing, and
So what did you find?
His hair is growing on his back now.
Exactly. There's a growth now on my back, so I'm like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I got a twitch in my eye whenever the barometric pressure hits 103.
So you can tell when the storms are coming.
Storms are coming.
Actually, he's probably better than Environment Canada.
Yeah.
That doesn't take much.
No.
50-50 is better
than dartboard in this room has about the same success rate.
But
it's genius. It's absolute genius.
You know, it's so funny, but... And I remember before the airports were as bad as they were now, a couple of years ago,
yes.
I was flying to Barbados, and we have to go through Toronto's Pearson to get there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in there, and again, before the machines were out there, so I had, and you know, again, to our listeners out there, this is all about insulting everyone, so...
they
you know
that. That's why they clicked on this.
We're an equal opportunity...
offenders.
There you go. That's the word I'm trying to think of.
And if we miss someone, please write in.
Write
in,
because we'll deal with them.
Yes.
So
I know I will.
Through, I got this East Indian guy, and I was maybe about fifth in line. All the white folk out there, let me tell you, they were getting passed through no problem. He looks at me, he stops me, he's interrogating me, he's doing the wand over my body.
That's just like Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Man. Holy crap.
Swear to God.
Oh
swear to God.
God.
He didn't even kiss me or buy me dinner. And he was like, you know.
See, I think the first thing I'm going to make sure that if I have any inkling that's going to happen to me, I will make sure that I'm visibly aroused when I walk in before they start. Because I got to tell you, when you guys start patting me down, you're going to have to finish me off.
Well, let me tell you. So
It's just the service I offer.
And you guys can back me up on this. So for all of you out there, if you're going to go through airport security or something, or you're going to go into a dangerous situation in life,
don't go in there black.
No, I was going to say, Gary, you're almost in the right line
He's
of thought
so
here.
So right.
I was going to say, bring a token black friend.
Bring a white friend, I think.
No. The reason why is, because if you're going, let's say, through the airport security and you got your token black friend there, okay, and you're not black, guess who they're going to go after? You could be walking through there.
That is sound logic. That is sound logic.
And if you're in a dangerous situation in your hometown, if you want to get downtown in the middle of the night, bring your token black friend.
Bring a black friend with you.
Guess who dies in the movie first?
This,
right?
Well,
am I wrong?
The black guy gets it
am
first.
I wrong?
Yep.
The black guy gets it first.
That's because he's so beloved, right?
Yeah.
He's so exactly.
To make it hit home.
Well, I mean, Ice Cube might get it all the time, but. Yeah. That was the only worthwhile part of Anaconda, I think, actually.
Ice Cube getting it?
I haven't asked.
That and John Voight's accent.
Yeah.
Anybody who's out there, watch and go download a copy of Anaconda. Don't buy it because
that's
a waste of money.
Oh, yeah.
I am going to encourage piracy of that movie, and just watch it for John Voight's accent. That's all I got to tell you. Ta-da.
So, but
all right.
Bottom line, guys.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, that's going to be the moral of today's episode.
Yes.
Bring a black token friend, or a token black man friend, or woman.
Yeah. So you're coming with us to Vegas next time, right?
Yes, he is.
There we go. So, problem solved.
We're good.
Thanks, Dave. That's really nice.
I don't think Elaine's going to want to hear that.
Yeah.
Though.
You know, I can also drive cars with chauffeur's hats and,
keep perpetuating the stereotypes here, pal.
I can cook some... fried
chicken
and
collard greens.
Collard greens. Hey, I like collard greens. I go to Atlanta every year for Dragon Con, and man, I'm getting
you're liking it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you got some. Yeah,
you got
some good food. You got some
afro in you. All right,
I like it.
Some afro, yes.
So now the main topic of today's podcast.
Wow, it took long getting up to
get
to that one.
I know. Well,
go ahead.
Again, I figured, you know what? It's the end of the year, so like with a lot of news agencies, and not that I'm comparing us to a news agency, but
third world news agency.
Yeah. Let's review the top 10 various topics of 2010.
Okay, we'll go through 10. It might hit 5,
yeah,
but we'll see what happens.
I'm going to start off with top 10 movies of 2010. So I'm on imdb.com's website address right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through the list here, and then we'll kind of backtrack, and I want to get your thoughts there, boys.
Sounds good.
Number 10, Valentine's Day with Julia Roberts, Jamie Foxx, and Anne Hathaway.
Didn't see it. Next.
Number 9, Date Night with Steve Carell, Tina Fey, and I didn't realize Mark Wahlberg was in it.
Didn't see it. Next.
I haven't seen either of those two.
This is going well.
Yeah.
Number 8, How to Train Your Dragon, and this was not a XXX movie.
See, you knew where I was going
with
that one, didn't you? I didn't see that one.
Jay Baruchel.
Gerard Butler
and Christopher Mintz Plasse or Plasse, I don't know.
McLovin. That's McLovin.
Okay.
That's how you remember. That's McLovin.
Oh. How to Train. Should we make any comments there before
No.
Number 7, The Last Song with, oh my God, Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Okay, wait. That's the number 7 movie?
That's the number 7 according to IMDb.com.
Haven't seen it. Next.
I didn't even know she made the
comic.
I think it just kind of shows you it's a slow year for movies if that's number 7.
I was
going
to say, I thought she did the Hannah Montana crap movie and that was it.
It's going to be entertaining to watch like the IMDb credits like 20 years from now. It's like, you know, whatever, Hannah Montana, The Last Song, Miley Does Dallas, Miley Does Small.
That's very intriguing. That is very intriguing. Wow.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean...
No, you're not wrong.
Gary's predictions
of the future. The way her career is going, that's going to happen.
Now, speaking of careers, I wonder if Dear Daddy made a cameo in here because he seems to be showing up in every one of her other
adventures. His creep factor is going through the roof with me, man.
Oh, I totally agree.
Totally.
Number 6,
a movie
that I wish I had seen but haven't, Grown Ups with Adam Sandler, Salma Hayek, and Kevin James, the The King of Queens himself.
I haven't seen it.
A friend of mine, you know, my buddy down the hall here is like a big fan of that movie. And he's got kind of a, I don't know, he quotes it every day and stuff, and I'm like, I still have no reason to see this. And it's got people in it I like. I mean, Chris Rock's in it. Salma Hayek's in it.
All the old late 80s SNL.
Well, Schneider and Spader
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
There's a couple other guys in there that have cameos and whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Kevin James kind of ruins things for me. I don't know.
See,
that's
like
just.
I didn't see Paul Bart.
I think
whatever.
That's what did it for me. A terrorist takeover.
Really,
of a
he's always playing the King and Queens character.
Yes.
On Hitch, the movie Hitch, he played.
Actually,
a
Hitch, I didn't mind him.
Yeah,
Hitch,
he was really good, especially that one scene where Will Smith was trying to teach him how to dance. That was
okay. That'll give you.
But beyond that, Kevin James has to kind of branch out a bit, and you know he's got to quit playing the same character. But on that note,
he'd have to lose weight for that.
Yeah, and that's on him. He's going to be the funny fat man, right?
Exactly.
Number five.
Go ahead.
Number five. Remember Me with Robert Pattinson and Emily Dohavn. I've never heard of this crap.
Nope.
Yes.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think we're going to find a movie we've seen.
Which list is this?
This is IMDb.com.
Are you sure it's official?
Is that the real one?
IMDb.com.
Yeah.
That is the real
one. List by this person.
Oh. True enough. A list by Celeste Riofrio. I don't know.
I think that's a random user.
That's okay.
We may have to edit this.
Celeste, you're a dumbass.
Your taste in movies sucks.
Number four, according to Celeste, Charlie St. Cloud with, as previously mentioned, Zac Efron.
Kim Basinger.
Oh, God,
her career's gone in the shitter.
Yeah, and Charlie Tahan.
Who?
Exactly.
Yep.
Keep going.
Number three, Love and Other Drugs with Jake Gyllenhaal.
This is a bad list, man.
It is a very bad list.
I think the list I've got up here is even better.
Anne Hathaway and Judy Greer. Wow.
Well, that's like that Simpsons when, you know, Homer and Larry Burns are going to hide. Where are they not going to look for us? And it's in a movie theater, and the movie in there is Too Many Grandmas with Olympia Dukakis and Bo Derek. That's the first thing I thought of when I heard the people in that movie.
Yeah. Number two, Tangled with Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Number one,
Twilight.
With Flavor of the Month, Emma Stone, and Amanda Bynes.
I like Emma.
By 17.
That's a user.
Yes.
Okay, please disregard the last 5 minutes of this podcast.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, this shows how dumbass people are out there.
It's probably a 17-year-old kid.
Oh, easily.
She'll grow up. Eventually.
Anne Hathaway showed up twice on this list.
There's nothing wrong with Anne Hathaway.
To look at, yes, but to put her on a top 10 movie list, meh.
Yeah, because really for like an annual list, they really haven't come out with much.
I was looking
online
today, and I had a hard time finding top 10 stuff.
From what I've seen on this one, they've got it number 10 on like this is a voted one.
Yeah.
Now, number 10, they have Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I want to see that.
Haven't seen it yet. Apparently, we have to watch a lot more movies because we have to make the number 9, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1.
That was really good.
Now, that Harry Potter series has actually been a consistently good one.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
surprisingly,
No, like, you don't get that kind of quality.
No.
I mean, because, like, usually a movie dies at the third movie.
Like a
franchise always take. At the second one, you see the cracks in the foundation.
Yeah.
And then in the third one, the house implodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, Harry Potter's had, even with like different directors,
yep.
Fantastic series.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Number 8, Shutter Island,
which is
a mindfuck of a movie right there. It's, Leo doesn't disappoint.
Nope.
I don't think Leo doesn't really disappoint.
Nope.
Number 7, and I just saw this, Kick-Ass.
I still haven't seen it.
The comic movie. It's a very interesting take on comic book movies. It's like just when like a normal guy tries to do superheroic things and gets his ass kicked horribly.
Oh yeah.
So hence the name Kick-Ass, or as Nick Cage goes, as it goes ass kicked.
Yes.
But no,
Nick
it's
Cage.
That might have been honestly the best movie he's done in a long time.
Oh yeah.
I'm not kidding.
To interrupt, I saw a trailer.
Yes.
Yesterday. For
I know which one you're talking about.
That
yeah.
Nick Cage is going to be in. Do you remember the name of it then?
No, I don't. What? It's it's a very
fantasy
looks,
movie.
It's like a Viking looking kind of movie. You know,
and,
it's.
but
where the heck is he?
It surprised me because it was a movie. It was like the first trailer for movie I've seen where he actually seemed to act. Like.
Yeah,
it wasn't playing the standard.
He
wasn't playing Nick Cage.
He wasn't.
A character. And,
really?
I mean,
and
that
like,
just
you know,
doesn't happen. It's
yeah.
called the. Where is it?
Where the hell is it? Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch. Thank you.
That looks good.
It's got kind of a 13th Warrior look to it. Yeah. But it's got Ron Perlman in it, so I mean, that's like the.
Isn't that the Beast from Beauty
yes.
and the Beast? Yeah.
He's in Sons of Anarchy.
Hellboy.
You got to watch that show.
Oh, okay.
Sons of Anarchy is awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, sir. But Kick-Ass, different kind of movie than you'd be expecting, but it's very well done. I thought it was very. I haven't read the source material because it's based on a graphic novel, but that's one of those things where I think you'd really like it, even if you're not a big comic guy.
Yeah,
but it's like how a guy unwittingly takes the mob down almost. So it's pretty neat.
Wow,
it's pretty neat. Let's go back to the list here. We've got Tangled. Apparently, that's a Disney the Rapunzel legend. It's their take on it. They dressed it up for the new millennium kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Put it in 3D or whatever.
No, I don't know if this one's in 3D or not.
I'm surprised.
I will check.
Yeah.
I will check. I don't see it. I don't know, maybe.
Oh.
Could be.
Yeah,
they're putting 3D in everything now.
Yeah, exactly.
See, there's going to be a 3D Blu-ray set.
Oh,
for it. So, yeah, okay. So
I'm just waiting for the movie trailer where it's like De Niro.
Torrent.
In 3D.
I'm watching you.
There's no need.
Okay,
five is
How to Train Your Dragon. So, okay, that's one part of the...
Yeah,
it's
fairly consistent. It's
been dealt with. Let's go to number four, The Social Network.
I wanted to see.
Once again, it's got like incredible Oscar buzz. It's like the Facebook movie, right?
Yeah,
so,
the Facebook movie. Yeah.
I have a copy of it. I haven't watched it yet. I've heard good things. I know the story behind it, but I honestly thought that like you know if you're gonna do a Facebook movie, like just base it on like the website. So with people getting poked and random status updates and racial slurs and all that other good stuff, you know that. That I don't know. They could bang out a script of that in like 20 minutes, couldn't they?
Yeah, really.
Number three, Toy Story 3. Once again, another excellent franchise. You know what? I've heard that you know there's some deep emotional stuff in a lot of this. You know, it's basically excuse me. It's getting dry in here.
Yeah, sir. Got a little bit verklempt.
It's basically about you know the toys are coming like toward the end of their useful life and whatever, and you know the kids growing up and.
Okay.
I think this is probably how they close the series off, but I'm like I once again I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So
sounds like a chick flick.
it didn't make that other girl's list.
Oh
there,
wow,
so.
She wasn't a chick; she was a flake.
She's a flake. No, but number two, The Black Swan.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
Does the Black Swan die, and the White Swan lives?
Well, I was going in there under that assumption.
Yeah,
but this is.
Come out?
Yeah, it's one Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis. They're the two ballerinas that like dyke it out with each other.
Yeah, but is
that's
that
why it's number two.
It's because
all guys. Oh yeah, it's out.
Oh,
that's why because it's all males watching that. They just came for the dyke out. I find nothing wrong with
that. And your point is.
I think I believe I made it. I believe I made my point.
Come on, Jackie Burkhardt from that 70s show.
Ooh.
She is damn fine.
You believe Macaulay Culkin? That's what she's with.
What?
I don't look it up.
Get out.
I don't make this crap up.
Oh, is that guy still around?
Well, I don't know. Well, he's living off of her now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he got that money out of his parents, but whatever.
Good
for him.
The number one
movie, and I think we can agree with this one. It's Inception, the Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yeah.
Which was once again it's actually nice to see a movie that you actually have to. Think through like a more of a thinking man's kind of movie that you can actually I mean I still don't know what it's about personally but I mean it's a very interesting comment on like very psychological very intellectual dealing with like dreams and psychoses and all that kind of stuff and I like to dissect it, but like I think I gotta watch it again, man. Because
yeah,
it's,
we're all behind on the movies this year.
I've seen like nothing, man. I mean, neither have I. I think like the last. Well, I mean, I saw Tron yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a tail end movie. You know, it's once again, it's very visually. I thought it was great. I mean, yeah, the story was kind of basic, I thought, but like it was beautifully shot, and it was like I was saying earlier off microphone that it had a lot of elements of a lot of movies in it. You can see like 2001: A Space Odyssey in it. You can see The Matrix in it. You can see A Clockwork Orange in it for a bit. You know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
The color scheme was kind of reminiscent of. Well, once again, with The Matrix, and I saw some Blade Runner in there too, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
really?
I think if you actually look at it, it's quite the amalgamation of styles.
Sounds like it.
And you know, I think there's something in it for everybody. I mean, really, story wise and stuff, and whatever with the 3D and that kind of thing. It, I think there was something a little bit lacking, but
I
enjoyed it. It was a good 2 hours, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the story. I thought it was well written. It was not a complex story. But
very, absolutely not.
There's a difference between basic and dumb, and I don't think it was dumb at all.
No, it was basic. Basic is probably a good analogy. And like for me, I guess Jeff Bridges can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh, really?
Well, no, he's one of my Tucker, Man in His Dream.
Yeah, yeah.
The Duke, Big Lebowski.
That's what I was gonna say. There's a bit. He actually channeled the Dude.
He did.
There was a breaking
my Zen.
Yeah,
down,
you're
man.
Breaking my Zen. Yeah,
awesome. But no, it's I don't care if it, you know, he's a decent actor. Whatever keeps him working, I'm good with. So
yeah. I think now would be a good time because I forgot to mention before.
Yes, sir.
We'd love to hear from you, our viewing audience out there.
Yeah, they did, at least you didn't do it after the anti-Semitic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Then
smart
our
move,
box would be full.
Smart move, Dave. Well done.
Of course, the fact that you brought it up again just kind of reinforced that fact.
I'm not worried.
Ignore the anti-Semitic stuff.
Ignore the Ukrainian in the corner.
So, manrantcorner@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All one word, manrantcorner@gmail.com.
Yeah, babe.
So let's go to the next list, boys.
Yes, sir.
This, again, is subject to debate, which is why we're here.
Best
I've gone
songs.
To AOLRadioBlog.com for the top
should've
10 songs of 2010.
Should have just went to Billboard, man.
Yeah.
I think Billboard would have worked. Well, no, but AOL is, you know, it's equally useless. So,
so
let's go ahead.
Let's do AOL first, and
sure.
Then I'll get your commentary on this, boys.
Sure, go for it.
Number 10, Rude Boy by Rihanna.
That's one of my least favorite songs of hers.
Yeah.
That's one of my least favorites.
She's starting to sound, you know, when you hear Nickelback and it always, all the songs sound the same.
Don't get me wrong.
More than one song.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nickelback doesn't have more than one song. They reworked the same one.
I was gonna say slightly different variations of the same song.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's, you've got to be kidding me.
So Rihanna, hot damn again!
I will gladly drink her bathwater, but she's got to get a new act. There's got to be something.
Now there's
there
the quote of the year.
Yes, but I you know, it's continue.
Number 9, Bad Romance by Lady Gaga.
Catchy.
Lady Gaga is like one of the few like hit makers nowadays that I actually pay attention to. She
makes
does
sense.
Consistent good stuff. When I first started hearing her stuff,
yes.
I'm like, I like this one. Who did it? Lady Gaga. Okay. Oh, I like this song. Who did it? Lady Gaga. After a while, I was like, stupid. I'm like, no, there's no way that
you're not supposed to be that consistently good, I think.
So I can't say nothing bad about her. She
no,
does
except for
stuff.
The crazy outfits, wearing the Kermit the
Frog
stuff. And the
I like the
Kermit's not dead.
The beef.
I was going to say the meat dress I kind of like because you know what. You know, you could get tired, and after railing her for a couple hours, you're going to get hungry.
Yeah.
So you slather some barbecue sauce on it, you got a meal.
You
got
to replenish.
I agree. I see nothing wrong. I mean, she's thinking ahead, and I respect that.
And speaking of head, booyah! All right, number 8, OMG, Usher.
Is it speaking of head, and you're going to Usher? Does he have a big cranium?
No,
I haven't really noticed.
I was just gonna say,
I'm
Lady
glad you
Gaga
have that
ahead.
Perspective.
I'm like an older Usher fan because now they're doing like the old. I mean, like Dave, you're a big house music fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I dig the house music personally,
yeah.
But I think a lot of the hip-hop guys are now going to that.
I think so.
I think because it's easier and white people can mix it. So they got more talent to draw from.
Hooray
their, like, mix.
For white people.
But I've heard better from him. It's catchy. You can dance to it. It's a club thing, but it's not something that
it
I'm going to...
last long.
It's not going to last long, and obviously it didn't. So, you know, it's whatever.
Gary?
I have nothing to say. I am totally out of the loop of these things.
Number 7, Break Your Heart by Tao Cruz.
Who is Tao Cruz? I've never
heard of him. He kind of looks like Usher.
He does, kind of. But with sunglasses.
It's kind of the cookie cutter look.
They all kind of look the same. Tyler Cruz, you know, it's more of a Latin kind of thing. You know, they try to bring the Latin stuff to the house, to the house music. And you know what? In my case, good song. I like
it's
it.
Not bad. Yeah.
I thought you know, it's once again decent club banger.
Yeah.
You know, not much there. It's not Beethoven.
No.
It's not Mozart.
No,
but that's not. That's not what you want.
Yeah,
that's not what you want.
Mozart never referred to his women as bitches. Come on.
I think there's some hot Austrian bitches out there. You know, there is. It's quite the country. You know.
A lot of my hot bitches out there. Yes, that's my Austrian accent.
Von Trapp family over there, man.
Number 6,
yes,
Just
sir.
The Way You Are by Bruno Mars.
I like this guy's voice. I really like this guy's voice until I heard him on Saturday Night Live, and you could tell it's like a total studio product, but from what I've the songs are good. They're like real, like they're trying to go more of a, it's like an early 90s vibe with a lot of his music if you actually listen to it, because I've listened to the whole album. It's actually catchy. His new song Grenade is freaking awesome, but voice-wise and stuff or whatever, I think he's really good, but I think live leaves a little something to be desired. But, you know, he's a young guy. He's going to work on it, you know. You know,
needs
hopefully.
Some work, yeah.
I think he's definitely going to need some work on it.
Okay.
Continue.
Number 5, Need You Now, the 2010 mix by Lady Antebellum.
Lady Antebellum.
Thank you.
I have a very unhealthy love for the lead singer of this band. Hillary Scott is just absolutely astonishingly hot. But
yeah, I would agree with you there.
Great song.
Yeah.
Very good song. I mean, they've done a number of different versions of it. They've done, you know, there's some club stuff with it, and there's, you know, it's a big country song. But yeah, you know what? After that, they've kind of like died off.
Yeah.
You know, which is typical. But you know, I think if she loses the other two dudes, she'd do a lot better. You know, I'm just saying, Hillary.
Yeah,
call
you know, it's funny, we're
call me.
On this list, they're showing the album covers for these singles.
Yes, sir.
And the album cover for this single, it looks like an old Peter, Paul, and Mary album.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy right there. Yeah,
look at them with the guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
And these two douchebags sitting there. And,
yeah,
Gary, thoughts?
I'm
way out of the loop. I'm learning about this.
Okay, what about the thoughts on the Peter, Paul, and Mary aspect of it?
I don't
Gary's
know what
like,
kind of music they're selling, but it's something to like...
That's got a folk vibe,
too.
Yeah,
like
it does have a folk vibe, doesn't it?
You
yeah.
need like a little fire burning in the fireplace.
Kumbaya.
And, like, grandpa sitting, you know, you don't know if he's sleeping or if he passed on.
Oh
he's
God.
In a rocking chair and...
Grandpa's dead!
No!
Number 4, Airplanes by B.O.B.
Yeah, that's with Hayley Williams of Paramore there.
Thoughts?
I don't know. It's kind of an interchangeable song for me. You know, very, very interchangeable. Don't mind it. Don't hate it.
Okay.
Carry on. Gare?
Speaking of B.O.B., they're on number 3 with Nothing on You.
And that's with Bruno Mars on backing vocals there, too.
Okay.
You know what? That one I like a little bit better than Airplanes. It's a decent track. You know, it's pop music, man. I mean, I guess because I've been listening to more older '90s stuff over the last little while, and '80s, and
yeah.
You know, there's at least a little more variety back then. The industry has to.
Songs
you know,
were original back then. Yeah.
I think they got to come a little bit more full circle, and you know, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's passable.
Yeah.
You know, it's great in the club because, you know, when you're mixing stuff, they only play a couple minutes of it anyway, so.
Yeah, it's easy.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent.
Number 2, Love the Way You Lie by Eminem.
He's still making stuff?
Now,
oh, yeah.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth.
He was kind of angry in this one. He sounded really angry.
For a change.
For a change, you know.
Because
he's
singing lullabies.
He's usually so, he's usually
yeah.
so, he's so passive
oh,
and understated.
Yes.
Yeah. Lyrically, it's still a very good song.
Really?
You got Rihanna on backing vocals there, and it's kind of after, you know, after her thing with Chris Brown. Thank you.
Yeah.
What's his ass
is a perfect description. Yeah.
But you know, it's like a whole domestic abuse kind of thing, and you know, powerful. I thought that for a number, I would have probably ranked it maybe number one personally.
Okay,
I don't think I would have put it at two, because I thought it was like, if you're gonna talk about a song with some kind of a message or some kind of a, you know, some kind of a theme or whatever, something that's got a little bit more to it, this one does, considering what we have at number one.
And on that note, Peter, did you want to say anything about number two before we go on to number one?
Nope, haven't heard it, I think.
Well, Dwayne, you make a good point. We go from number two, where there's a song with an underlying theme, message to tell,
to number one,
California Girls by Katy Perry. Now talk about the pop sensation of the year. Blue hair,
Like Hillary of Lady Antebellum there, there's like an unhealthy love for this chick that I got until you hear her talk or sing. The song's catchy.
It's a very catchy song.
That's one of those earworm type things, you know. Once you hear it, it's stuck in you, like, you know, like Star Trek II and the Wrath of Khan. You know, when the thing's boring its way into the ear, that's it, you know. And I'm kind of, ride it until the wheels fall off, sweetie. But you know what? She knows what she's doing. I mean, she's plain pandering to her base. It's not. I think maybe ranking that at number one, that's kind of a, you know, probably the best indictment of pop music today, because it's pretty disposable and it's not going to last.
No.
And you're not going to be listening to that.
No. Years down the road.
No,
it's
not going to happen.
It's
not going to happen.
It's not going to be the Beatles. It's not going to be the Rolling Stones.
Save the money, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Save the money. It's a short ride.
Exactly.
and ditch the hobo while you're at it. Fuck. Bitch has no taste in men at all.
So, Dwayne, you pulled up the Billboard.com
Well, they got Kesha at number one,
which
is kind of funny with TikTok.
With TikTok,
you know?
Yeah.
That girl needs a shower, first off.
Yeah.
She got that grimy, dirty vibe.
She does.
Grimy, dirty vibe there. I'm looking at, see, they had Lady Antebellum as higher as number two, and I could almost agree with that.
Okay.
They got Trey and Hey Soul Sister. Oh, boy, at number three. That's annoying. They dropped Katie down to number four.
Look, I think there's a typo there.
What's
because
that?
They spelled girls G-U-R-L-S.
That's correct. That's how
and
it's
that's
done.
Only a retard would do that. So I'm assuming that it has to be a typo.
Don't insult the retards. Retards.
I was going to say, Katie didn't receive her PhD yet, so that's why she's, you know,
I
still
don't
learning
think, I think school was optional for that girl. I don't think that was... they've got Usher at five... B.O.B. with Airplanes at six. Love the Way You Lie at seven. That's I find that low.
Wow.
Bad Romance at eight.
Which is roughly where it was here.
And Tayo Cruz holding up 9 and 10.
Okay.
Well, I mean, essentially the top tens are probably interchangeable.
Roughly the same.
They're kind of the same. You know, it's once again, it's like I said, it's a lot of this stuff is just not not memorable. So
yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, well, Kesha's one that's got I still say her career is the result of a bet between Randolph and Mortimer. I still say they picked some chick up out of an alley and let's make her a pop star. I'll bet you a dollar.
Yep.
Now, for those of you that don't quite get the reference that Dwayne's talking about,
Google it. We're not explaining it.
But I wanted to explain it.
Okay. Fine, explain it.
Trading Spaces,
it's Christmas.
1983 with Eddie Murphy.
Trading Places. Trading Spaces as a whole.
Or Trading Places, yes. Thank
Ooh.
You.
Ooh.
Trading Spaces was that stupid reality show from...
No, it's got that Disney chick there.
Oh.
That chick was hot.
Trading Places, 1983.
Dwayne's going into his special place for
Aykroyd.
A moment.
Yes.
So then you can Google it from there.
You
can
Google it from there.
All right. Any final thoughts before we go on the last list there, boys?
Yeah, let's go to the last list.
Before we go on to... We're leaving music?
leading music.
I just wanted to add.
What's that?
Now, I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't listen to a lot of pop music.
It's probably for the best.
I was going to say, that's not a disadvantage nowadays.
Congratulations, young man.
One of the genres of music I love the most, although I love pretty much every genre.
Yes, sir.
But my favorite is actually musical soundtracks, orchestral musical soundtracks.
You're kind of with me on that.
John Williams.
Yes, sir.
Star Wars,
of course.
That kind of stuff.
Of course.
There's others, Jerry Goldsmith. The one who did Lord of the Rings, his name, but those kind of musical scores. So I thought I'd bring up Tron Legacy.
Oh boy,
that was an interesting choice for that.
Daft Punk.
Oh yeah.
And while that wouldn't have been my first choice, because I'm like, the original was Wendy Carlos. She was, you know, did this amazing digital choral musical theme, and it was just magnificent. And you know, to have someone who sort of does pop, musical pop or synth pop or whatever genre they are would have kind of taken me aback. But I have to say, they did a phenomenal job.
I downloaded a copy the minute I heard it. It's phenomenal. So good. It is, like, I know Dave you'd like it. I mean, being the electronic music fan that you are.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, they had, you saw them in the movie there, right? There's a little cameo.
Yes, they have a little cameo in the movie.
It's one of those things where you didn't expect it to be as good as it should have been.
Really?
And I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. I think a lot of movies, like for trailers coming down the pipe, a lot more future, they're going to be ripping that stuff off over the next few years. You can tell. Though they hit one out of the park there. I'd agree. I mean, I'd put any of that Tron music probably much ahead of most of the stuff in the top 10.
Easily.
But I know, being the soundtrack guy, I mean, that's kind of my thing as well. I love listening to that stuff.
Well, and I agree with you guys as well, because unlike this fly by night pop stuff that we were just talking about, the soundtrack stuff, it's got layers and it's got depth to it, and it's actually got some meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you really sit back and you sit in a room by yourself and you just close your eyes and you listen to this stuff, it's just amazing.
Absolutely. You absolutely.
Know? So I completely agree with both of you.
Well, for my money, and like for that for me is like heads years ahead of a lot of what we've heard this year. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyhow, go to the next list.
Do we have time for a final list here, boys?
Absolutely, we do. We do. Right. One more.
There's
Let's do one more.
Time for Jell-O.
So, okay. So on that note, I'm now on the TV.com website.
Okay. Cool.
It doesn't look like some random teenager.
They actually
list.
Now as guys who watch a lot of TV here, I think this might actually work out well.
Yeah.
And but you watch stuff like after the fact, so I mean, it's still.
I'm like about 5 years behind the scene, behind time.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, you know. Sometimes it's better to watch a show like all the way through.
Yeah.
And then.
So what I'll do here
is
I'm gonna go just like with the last two lists. I'm gonna go with the top 10. And even just skimming through it, I completely disagree with this. Well, not completely,
well,
but for the most part.
That's cool.
Then
we'll talk
about the top 10, and I'll throw a couple of the top 20 in there afterwards. But so we'll start off with number 10, Criminal Minds.
I don't watch Criminal Minds.
You know, my girlfriend does.
A couple of my friends do as well.
It's a good ensemble. It's a good procedural. Well, it's a kind of an offshoot of a procedural drama. A.J. Cook, the cute blonde that was on there for a long time. So they got rid of her this season, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, so I was kind of disappointed with that because one less cute blonde on TV.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
It is. I'm disappointed.
But, you know, they still got Fat Tony, a.k.a. Joe Mantegna. He's still on there. And the guy from Dharma and Greg.
Thomas Gibson.
Yeah. If you ever watch Criminal Minds...
Yes.
Watch any episode at any time. The guy does not crack a smile ever. He always.
I would agree with that.
Every
clip that I've seen.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't smile.
Yeah. He looks like he's gonna be like
nerve
a serial rapist or something.
Nerve
like
damage.
I don't know.
Bad Botox.
I guess.
I don't know.
You know, co-starring on Dharma and Greg with Jenna Elfman.
Oh.
That would make anyone cringe. That would
just make you nuts.
Exactly.
That'd just make you nuts.
Number 9, NCIS, the original.
Okay.
Mark Harmon. Again, this is another.
I'm glad he's still getting work.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah,
I really watch it.
I know it's a really good show.
Yeah, I know.
Number 8, Dexter. Now I know this has got a big loyal following.
A lot of the girls that I know actually love this show, which I find kind of weird because he's a serial killer who kills other serial killers, right?
Yeah. And works for the police department, yeah.
Works for the cops, you know, whatever. And he's got stuff going on in his head and whatever. And from what I, once again, I haven't watched this. I've been trying to get into it.
Yeah.
But, like, I've got about 5 seasons to go through now before I can actually get up to speed. And Michael C. Hall is a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who recently got, who's getting a divorce. The girl who plays his sister
in the show,
is his wife. Now they're getting divorced.
That's
and he was apparently, apparently Julia Stiles is on this show now.
Oh, is she?
He was dicking her.
No.
Yeah. So that should be a real, you know,
awkward.
Well, that's going to be, you know, it's as dysfunctional families go. I mean, for a show. That's going to be tense.
Well, and again, guys out there, Julia Stiles from the Bourne Identity trilogy.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Save the Last Dance. And,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But,
and
yeah.
From Your Dreams.
That too. I don't know. I've never really found her that attractive. But
no.
But she
was a cute young white girl, you know? But she's, yeah.
But brothers,
I mean,
brothers like the cute young white ones.
I was going
to
say, that's a dime a dozen. So, yeah. You know, I agree,
Dwayne.
I mean, that's all she's got going for her.
No, I get it. Number seven,
Burn Notice. I can't think of what show this is.
I can't explain the premise, but it's got Bruce Campbell in it. So, I mean,
nice.
Right away, Gary's be like, oh, Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The guy from Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Okay.
And
Evil Dead 2.
Oh, okay.
You know, Ash.
Okay.
Real cheeseball kind of guy,
but
he plays his role well. He plays his role. No, I think he plays his role very well. It's kind of, you know, he's a deadbeat. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
Right.
But it's kind of like a private investigator type show.
Oh.
You know, it's a guy who's like, he was supposed to be doing this one job, and he was cut off in the middle of it. Now he's trying to reestablish his career.
Okay.
Anybody can email me and refute me if I'm wrong, because I've only seen like 20 minutes of this thing.
Okay.
And once again, another thing I'm trying to get into, but you know, there's only so much TV you can watch now, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's craziness.
Exactly. Number six, Smallville.
Now.
It's the last season, right?
This is the last season for Smallville.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Superman fan.
Okay.
And this season, the last two seasons, they've really done a lot to bring other characters in. They got the Justice Society, Doomsday, their
nice.
Dark Side they're hinting at.
Ooh, very
nice. The Legion of Superheroes, the Zatanna, the Wonder Twins, Aquaman, Flash, that kind of stuff. They've really tried to like bring a whole new cast of characters in, and I think they've been doing a damn good job of it. And
excellent.
It's funny how they're really shooting their load now, not the last 6 years, but they're going to go out with a bang, and they're going to really give it a good final push. So you know, I don't know where they're gonna go after that, if they're gonna, you know, put Welling in the suit or whatever, but
they better.
I think he's earned the right already.
Foreplay,
it's 10 years.
Yeah,
that's a long time for it
to wait.
Yeah.
By the time he's actually in the suit, he's like,
he's gonna be
depends,
like,
you know,
he's gonna be like the old Kingdom Come Superman with the gray in the hair, and you know, the heat vision doesn't work all the way, super breath that can't really freeze anything anymore, can only jump now, can't fly.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of shows on the CW that are on their last season, number five, Supernatural.
Is it actually the last season for that?
Now, this show was originally intended to be 5 seasons long, so that's
already
gone.
Okay, give them credit. Give them credit. Okay.
Because this is such a popular show, they're now in their sixth season. It's taken a bit of a change because, again, I don't watch the show all that much. But
neither do I.
But
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's a really good show. This season has taken a bit of a dark side because... Now, I always get the brothers confused. There's Sam and Dean.
Right.
One of them went to hell at the end of season 5.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be... Exactly. That was supposed to be the end of the series. So because they brought him back, there's more of a darker side. The two brothers don't trust each other like they used to, and they've got additional characters in there for the last season. So the dynamics are a little bit different, but it's still a good show, and all the blogs are still very highly rating this show.
No, it's pretty good. No, I've heard good things, but never seen it. Carry on.
Okay. Gary, any thoughts on Supernatural?
I've heard good things about it. I'll probably watch it in 2020, something like that.
Okay.
By the time he gets to it, he might be, you know, retired. So
yeah.
Gotcha.
That'll kind of work out well for him.
The best shows are always the ones that you're watching after they've long since been discontinued.
Yep.
On that note, number four, Bones.
I thought you were going to say Boned.
Boner.
Bones with the guy from Angel. And what's your face?
You can, you know what, yeah, that's, you know what, once again, I'm sensing a trend developing here, because there's one of those things where, okay, we haven't seen any movies, haven't seen any TV shows, haven't listened to much music. I mean, like, what the hell have we been doing this year?
I've been thinking. I'm trying to...
It's kind of good on you.
I told you.
It's
I was trying to discover the cure for AIDS. I told you that at the beginning of the podcast. Were you guys not listening? Come on.
Yeah, but you're not a doctor, so it's kind of wondering
true.
What the hell
yeah,
you're doing.
That's true. I'm, you know, just doing it in my garage. Yeah, but
I've been on the internet looking at all the top 10 lists.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's trying to do it through WebMD. That's all.
Exactly.
Anyway,
number
go ahead.
Number three, Fringe.
Fringe. I've, once again, heard
yeah,
good
I,
things.
I don't watch that show.
We really should have prepared
really
for this
things,
one.
But, I haven't watched it.
We really should have prepared for this
yeah,
one today,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Preparation is for pussies.
I that's my motto. Apparently yours too.
That is
apparently yours
motto,
too.
Actually.
See, now this is why I said earlier that I don't agree with this list, because A, I haven't watched most of these shows, but
yeah.
B,
yeah,
because
I'm gonna refute
shows?
This in a minute.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Number two, Grey's Anatomy. Case in point. What the hell is this?
Is
going
that still?
On this list?
I can't
yeah.
believe that's still on. Really?
Yeah.
Like honestly?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Number one, Vampire Diaries. Now, again, here's another show I've heard that a lot of good things about, but I'm not into the vampire.
No, that's
shit.
Well, I think it's only big because of Twilight.
What?
It's
no,
only,
really.
It's only big because of Twilight. What's
your feelings there?
No, it's only
not
big
into
because
the vampire shit.
I know. I said
well, so
it's not my thing, but you know.
You know, I don't like sucking blood or anything. You know, or you know. Crosses and garlic are not his thing, you know. That's cool. Actually, it's not their thing either. But
yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to talk about a couple items that are further down.
Okay.
Just because
yeah,
I've actually watched them.
Exactly.
Big Bang Theory. I've watched.
Excellent. Yes.
And they have it at number 12,
number
which 12 I totally don't buy. I thought
yeah.
it would be. I honestly thought it would be higher.
And
yes.
I think it's brilliant.
Oh, it is. Excellent
and
show.
Very,
well, that's
very,
kind of more of our
for
kind
a geek,
of thing.
Yeah.
It's more of what we're
to life,
yeah.
We're getting at. So.
And the other one that I've just watched the first three episodes is The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yes,
that's
an AMC show. It's based on a graphic novel. It's zombies
and
that, killing them.
Yeah, that was.
It's pretty intense.
Very,
it's
very well.
Very
done.
Intense.
Very well done.
I know they're getting another season out of it. You know, they got a finite period. AMC usually always does very good work.
Yeah.
On stuff like
yeah,
this.
I've heard
and,
that, yeah.
you know, the quality control there is excellent. So I think they're probably going to be, you know, that it's something that, you know, that they'll do good work on it. You can always really expect a lot out of them.
Right.
They got 30 Rock at 40. And it's been a lot better this year.
30 Rock is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, because like we've said before, we pray to the altar of Jack Donaghy every week.
Tina Fey is a genius. She's a comedy genius. Everything she touches is brilliant.
It's always been said it's kind of hard to find funny women out there, but she's one of them, you know?
She doesn't
disappoint.
Yeah.
And 30 Rock, I know when I'm going in, it's going to be fast and funny and clever. And again,
Tina Fey
the
is
best
brilliant.
Humor,
yeah.
Yes.
The best humor is like true, you know, bits of truth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
not just
yes.
like superficial fart jokes, crap, whatever,
yeah.
and tells you nothing.
Uh-huh.
And 30 Rock, you know, it's fun, it's funny, but it's also it's satire and it's well done.
Yeah.
I agree. No, that goes without saying. I know they have my favorite show of the year, which was on HBO, which is Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah,
Earth, which I've mentioned
Steve.
Before, but
Steve Buscemi
is Nucky Thompson. He's a treasurer in 1920s New Jersey, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Okay,
and he runs booze. He Prohibition's kicked in.
Yeah.
He supplies the booze, and it's his interactions with you know various characters. You're dealing with Arnold Rothstein, Lucky Luciano,
nice.
Al Capone.
Yeah,
it's how organized crime got started. In the 1920s,
okay.
and you know how it was pretty much government aided.
Yeah,
you know, I mean the mob was in government, the government was in mob. How times have changed.
Yeah.
But that being said, the production values are incredible. It's the thing with HBO is their series lengths are always they're finite as well, and they only do like 12 a year.
Really?
But you put those 12 episodes against. Something that has like 20 to 24.
Like on network television.
The quality is in the 12. It's not like spread out over,
you
know, 24 episodes and shit. You see the quality and you see the attention to detail.
Yeah.
With the, what you have with the production values and all that other kind of stuff, it's fantastic. And they've really done a magnificent job of it. They, you know, it'll probably clean up at the Emmys, but you know, it's as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets.
Well, I'll see your Boardwalk Empire, and for me, like,
yeah,
what one of the most astounding shows I've seen recently was Spartacus: Blood and Sand.
And I would agree with you 100% there.
That was one where I came in with, you know, moderate expectations to low expectations. You know, I heard lots of violence, nudity, that kind of stuff, very controversial. So I'm like, oh, I'll give it a shot. But it was brilliant. It was just, the writing was exceptional.
The effects.
The effects
even though it's
beautiful.
Like the 300 blood level effects,
yeah,
but it's...
stylized, but also, you know, consistently beautiful.
I know.
And
yeah, and you got to see Lucy Lawless's boobs.
There's that.
Lucy Lawless is still on TV?
Yes. Yeah.
And
no,
she looks younger
she looks
than
good.
She used
no.
to.
She looks,
yeah,
really
what
good.
Was this?
Spartacus: Blood and Sand.
Well, no, unfortunately, the lead actor in it had his leukemia recurred, so they're not doing a second season, but they're doing a prequel with
yeah.
so a lot of the people that were in the first season.
Okay.
So,
including Lucy?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, because
right.
Well, no, we can't spoil because
yeah.
a lot of people haven't seen it yet. So
okay.
we're not gonna do a spoiler alert kind of thing. So.
Yeah. But the writing was just like I watched the first episode and went, oh wow, they just, you know, they threw everything, you know, they blew their load on the first one and now it'll settle into mediocrity. And the second one, they raised the bar. And I went, well, that's new. They usually don't do that. But the next one is going to drop a bit. And the third one, they raised the bar again. And each episode, they raised
the
bar a little bit.
It actually did start very slow. But once you got to like episode 6, 7, 8, 9, right to the end, boom. It was, I mean, that's the kind of movie I think actually 300 could have been.
Okay.
I think 300, I like it. I love it for what it was. But I mean, yeah, but I mean, they had 12 episodes. 300 had what,
yeah.
a couple hours?
Yeah.
I'm sure, well, the Battle of Thermopylae kind of lasted a lot longer than a couple of hours,
yeah.
but you know, it's you know, it is what it is, and you know, I give them credit because Showtime and Stars did like a very good job of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we're running out of time, I'm just gonna
yes, we are.
Quickly make my comments on the shows that I thought should have made the top 10.
Yes.
Big Bang Theory, Gary already mentioned
definitely.
It.
Yep. Definitely.
How I Met Your Mother with NPH. Definitely
my
should
boy,
have been on the top
my boy,
10.
My boy,
yeah.
my boy.
And Castle with Nathan Fillion. Again, you know, that's my thing.
Actually, Castle has gotten, from what I've heard, Castle has gotten a lot better.
It
the
has
writing
third,
has definitely improved.
Third season is getting better for sure. I won't rehash episode 2 with our TV podcast, so
no.
If you want more of my thoughts, go on to episode number 2.
And turn your volume way up
yeah,
on that one.
We had a few technical difficulties. We're going to make sure we resolve that with this one.
Yeah, because this show is on no budget.
Exactly. So on that note,
yes.
let's go to
Douchebag
of the week.
Actually, it's kind of getting closer to like Douchebag of the Month now.
Oh,
which
quarter.
Of the quarter, fiscal 2000.
They keep on raising the bar.
They do, and actually, from what I've seen, I can almost give this guy douchebag of the year territory.
These people. Oh.
It's oh no, this is people here.
Okay.
Because what we've got is the Republican Congress in the States. We're going to take it across the border this time.
Okay.
Because I mean, there is enough douchiosity in Canada that we can go through, but
can't alienate our American friends.
No, no,
could, bags out there as well.
You got a lot of them, and they all run your country. So we were, I was looking at this the other day, and the Republican Congress has blocked funding for 9/11 first responders. There was a bill that was put forth, I guess, in the House that was to provide, I think, an extra $7 billion for those who are experiencing health effects from being the first ones into 9/11 to rescue the people. And this bill's been tied up in Congress for a long time. And now that you've had a bit of a change in regime in there, they basically almost scuttled it to a point where it's not going to, if any other legislation that's going to give these people extra money for health care is not probably going to be tabled till the next session of Congress.
Oh, jeez.
So what... on the Daily Show this week, Jon Stewart had 4 first responders on to talk about their experiences with it.
Wow.
And the Daily Show was the only show that actually covered this.
Really?
They didn't do it on most of... some of the newspapers did, granted, but generally if it's not on TV, people aren't watching it.
You're right.
So what happened was they were talking about their their experiences and the health problems that they're dealing with. I mean, there's a lot of cancer, heart problems, brain issues, you name it. These people aren't, one guy had like stage 4 throat cancer. Oh, so, man. you know, for all we know, by the time this legislation gets tabled, the guy could be dead.
Wow.
And there are people dying. I know they lost a couple of guys over the last couple of weeks. And this is, you're playing politics with people's lives.
Oh, no kidding.
At Christmas. Now, Grant, and the Republicans, it gets me kind of angry talking about this, but their logic was that they didn't want to do any extra work because they don't want to violate one of the more sacred Christian holidays. They don't want to work through it.
Oh.
You're talking about people's lives. You were hired, you were elected to do a job to help people, and you're not doing it, and you're only worried about your own self-interest, and you're only worrying about where your next term is going to come in or who's going to re-elect you. And you know what? Hopefully, a lot of people are paying attention to this and voting these people out of office the next time. And hopefully, the Americans will be smart enough to do that this time, because as douche moves go, here it is. To me, it's the ultimate douche move if you're going to, like, taking some of the least of your brothers and you're not taking care of them. And to be honest with you, and I can't say it any more succinctly than that, but for that, Republican Congress and Republican members of the House and the Senate, you get the douchebag of the week. Enjoy your title, pricks.
You know, and you mentioned the politicians dealing with people's lives. It's not only any people's lives, but people that were willing to give their lives up.
They did their jobs, above and beyond what they had to do, and risked themselves. And they all could have been dead that day too. But they went in and they helped a lot of people. And I was doing the math in my head now, and from what I gathered, I guess the only people that got any decent health care out of 9/11 were the people that Michael Moore took on his boat in Sicko. You see the movie where they took them all to Cuba, and they all got treated there, and they had their medication and stuff.
Oh no.
Really? Wow. That's pretty much the people who got the best care.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Gary, any final thoughts to that?
Well, other than it's disgusting and makes me sick, the fact that after 9/11 happened, the Republicans over and over through their mouthpiece, Fox News and others,
mm-hmm.
Would say 9/11, we have to do this.
Yes.
And what they would do is add in new security things that were supposedly made things more secure.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, we're violating your rights, that kind of thing. 9/11, they'd say that. Mm-hmm. Now, when it actually comes to the point where you can use the words 9/11 to actually do some good. Go 9/11.
Yes, absolutely.
9/11. Give these people, I mean, they're all patriotic. The Republicans, they're always so, about patriotism. We've got to support those who, are on the front lines of the war against terrorism, that kind of stuff.
But only when it's convenient for them.
To help. These were the first responders at the beginning of the war on terrorism. There's no one first before these people. And the fact that you're not agreeing to give them these very basic...
It's minuscule. It's very minuscule.
Right. It's just throw them a bone kind of thing. It's beyond anything I could say. It's more than rude. It's disgusting.
No, it's... I can't add anything more than that.
Shakes your head. Same thing with me. You guys have excellent points. On that note... again, I'm just going to quickly remind everyone out there, manrantcorner@gmail.com. We
yes,
do look
sir.
Forward to hearing from you.
Yes.
So from the Man Rant Corner headquarters, I'm Dave.
I'm Dwayne.
Gary.
Try that again. From the Man Rant headquarters, Man Rant Corner headquarters.
There's no second takes here, man.
I'm Dave.
I'm Dwayne.
And I'm Gary.
We want to wish you guys the best of the holiday season.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thanks
Happy
for listening.
Happy holidays.
Thanks a lot, people.
We promise more podcasts and better quality podcasts in 2011.
And more offense.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.